should sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him, he will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whate'er betide. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight. And with a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, guiding me, I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, up there to sing forever of his saving grace. And on the streets of glory, let my heart, my cares all pass, home at last, to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, and my Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through this world below, and he's a real friend to me. Oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. And on
welcome, my friends, to Open Bible Telecast, Open Bible Dialogue, and Radio Broadcast. We just welcome you today. Had a little difficulty with my sound. I think it's just me. I don't think it's you. I just bought a new piece of hearing equipment, and it doesn't work any better. So we'll find the problem somewhere. Welcome. It's a joy. We've got a great broadcast today. Now, I think we're on, I think we're on Facebook. I think we're on Facebook. I'm trying to get everything all taken care of here because the frustrations have been a little overwhelming. And I'm doing it all in a new way. If I'm on Facebook, somebody call, but I think it's all there. And it's been different. I'm having to do technical things I haven't done before, but I think they're working. I think they're working. And welcome. Let's have a great telecast together, would you? Let's have a great telecast together. I believe we will. Now, we're talking today about a subject that's quite overwhelming to me. We're going to talk about heavenly paradise. Heavenly paradise. Now, I'm telling you, this subject is overwhelming. I have never in my life before got involved in studying in the Bible about paradise. And there are four places in the Bible where a paradise exists. All of them are different. All of the different paradise that we find in the Bible are different. One was in the Garden of Eden, and the last will be somewhere near New Jerusalem. And we will all that are part of the bride and part of the great saints of God, we will be part of that great company that enjoy paradise. Paradise forever. Can you imagine? Paradise forever. Well, let's begin by going in our Bible to the book of Hebrews. I always love Hebrews. It's one of those great books of the Bible. And in Hebrews, we find a testimony about Abraham. Abraham was looking for paradise. Abraham had his eyes set on paradise. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked, now notice, this is very important, for he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And that's Abraham. He looked for a city with foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Now, it's very evident that Abraham was looking for paradise. Abraham was looking for the ultimate promise of God. The ultimate promise of God. His heart was set on it. His head was set on it. It was very important to him. And he was looking for the city with foundation. Notice that. That's indicating that he was looking for something God had made and not man. He was looking for something that was in the realm of the spiritual and not in the realm of the natural. Well, the idea of paradise is certainly in the Bible quite meaningfully. We all know that Adam and Eve were placed in a Garden of Eden. That word Eden means paradise, or the word paradise means Eden. They are the same word between the English and the Hebrew or the Greek. So, Eden, the paradise of God, and that's where Adam and Eve were placed when they were created by Jehovah God. Now, it was such a marvelous place that God himself came out of his realm in the heavenlies and walked into the physical earth that he had made and walked with Adam and Eve. And they had fellowship in the Garden of Eden. Now, this Garden of Eden was so, it was so miraculous. It was so beautiful. It was so overwhelming that this is the place that the devil sought to make his move against God and against man. The devil showed up in the paradise of God, the Garden of Eden, and began to suggest to Adam and Eve something different from what God himself had told them and what God had given them. And we know what happened there, and we know the sin of that occasion. But I want really to talk about this paradise, because the saints of God will dwell eternally where the Garden of Eden will be. The new Garden of Eden, the final Garden of Eden, God's glorious Garden of Eden. I think the entire universe will be a paradise of God. I think that's how it was in the beginning. I think the whole earth was a paradise. It was a marvelous place. The beauty of nature was overwhelming. Well, you wait till we get what we're going to get on that other side. You're talking about something grand. You're talking about something out of the realm of human understanding. It is beyond our ability to grasp what this Garden of Eden was all about. Now, you understand Abraham saying that he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And that was quoted in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 11, deals with Abraham and this glorious place. Now, I want to talk about David, King David. He had a perception of the paradise of God that's quite amazing. And we're going to go to that in the Psalms, okay? Are you ready to go with me into the Psalms? And let's see what we can find out about David's view of this paradise of God, this marvelous place. We'll begin with chapter 46, and let's begin reading verse 1. Verse 1 of 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. We're not going to worry if this whole universe is destroyed. We're not going to worry what happens around us. Now listen to that. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Boy, the environmentalists need to hear that, don't they? David was looking for something beyond the physical, beyond the earthly situation. He was looking for something in a realm quite above and quite beyond what man thinks of. Well, let's go on. Listen carefully. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains swell or shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river. Now listen, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Now this is David talking. There is a river. Whereof the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Now, David had not been there, but David had a perception of it, that God dwelled in a place of paradise, that God's heavenly realm was a marvelous place to behold, a beautiful place beyond human grasp. It really was, and David knew that. Let me read that verse again. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Ooh, David knew there was a paradise of God. And he's talking about it. Whereof shall make glad the city of God. Now listen, God is in the midst of her and shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathens rage, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth shook. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Now, that's David talking about this place of paradise. I got to read fourth verse again. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. The city of God. Now, listen how he describes that city. The holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Now, the world doesn't really respect God. The world has very little understanding of God. And we Christians don't help much because we don't talk about it. We don't get it in our hearts. The heavenly paradise. I'm here to tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, there is a heavenly paradise. There is a heavenly paradise. And we ought to be glad about that beautiful place. You see above my head, heavenly paradise. And I'm removing it and putting it back because I wanted to get your attention. The heavenly paradise. Whereof shall make glad the city of our God. The dwelling place, the tabernacle of the Most High. Oh, so there is a paradise. There is a paradise, and it was created first as the Garden of Eden. Now, that was the paradise that God put on our earth. But this paradise that David speaks of is in the realm of the Father. It's in the realm of the Heavenly One. And he's saying this earth, it may shake, and it may go into all kinds of consternations. We don't know what's going to happen to it. But we know something. We've got something bigger and better and far beyond this earth as we perceive it. And it's the city of our God. Now notice he calls it, you got to hear it real clear. He calls it the city of our God. The city of our God. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city. The city of our God. The holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Are you living for these spiritual things? Are you living for the future? Are you living for this earth that will all be a little short span and then it's all over? And where we spend eternity is really all that really counts. Where are we going to spend eternity? Where are you going to spend eternity? Are you going to spend eternity in the city of God? Well, David really had a vision of that. Now let's go to another passage that David gives us that is just as exciting and just as beautiful. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Notice he said in the city. God has a city. God has a great place beyond all human understanding. This earth is but a little garden compared to the great city of our God. Notice now what he said. There is great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Now notice, in the mountains of his holiness. In the mountains of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. Beautiful for situation is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. Beautiful situation. The joy of the whole earth. Hey, that used to be with godly people. They did joy in the things of God. And we got to start joying in the things of God again. I beg of you, start joying in the things of God with me. Start enjoying the things of God with the people of God. Start worshiping the God with a passion. I mean a passion, because he is the God of all creation. And he lives in a magnificent kingdom. A magnificent kingdom. The city of our God on the sides of the north. Now notice that he even describes that beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. The city of the great king. Again, the city, twice in this one passage, Psalms 48, he calls it the city of God, the city of the Most High. This glorious place where the king reigns in all his sovereignty and all of his holiness and all of his beauty. Everything about him is so significant. The joy of the whole earth. God is known. Now notice this. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. God is known in her palaces. Talking about the city of our God. And he's known in the city, his city, as a refuge. Oh, what a picture. Oh man, what a picture. Well, there's another passage that David gives us, and that's in Psalm. Remember now, we read Psalms 47. Psalms 46. Then we read Psalms 48, and now Psalms 87. His foundation is in the holy mountain. His foundation is in the holy mountain. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Now, sometimes people confuse the city of God with the city of Jerusalem, and there is some connection. The city of Jerusalem was created by God as somewhat of a type of his city in the heavenly realm. And so we see a connection, and there's nothing wrong with seeing that connection. I'm quite overwhelmed with it. Glorious things I've spoken of thee, O city of God. I will make mention, and he goes on to talk about the things of the city of our God. Friend, do you understand the city of our God's a real place? There is a real paradise. There is a genuine paradise. And every saint of God that's right now in the realm of heaven is in the city of God. They're in this glorious place of paradise. My sweetheart wife, your friends and your neighbors, good people, mamas and daddies, grandmothers and grandfathers. I'm telling you, they're in a place of perfect rest. If they left here washed in the blood and living for Christ and he was the Lord of their life, they're in a place of grandeur. I'm here to tell you there's nothing that you can talk about that's cheap about that realm. God's paradise is real. God's paradise is real. I'm telling you, God's paradise is real. I'm glad that God spoke of Abraham and called the place of his dwelling as a paradise. Did you know that? Did you know the place where the dead went in the Old Testament was called the bosom of Abraham, but it was also called paradise? The bosom of Abraham and paradise. Remember what Jesus said to the thief on the cross? Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, I got a lot further to go, but I'm going to stop and give you a chance to call. A number to call, I'll put that up for you. I do want to hear from you because this is a great subject. Call me at 704-391-0588. My secretary will put you in here and we'll talk with you personally right on the phone, right on the radio, right on Facebook, right on internet, right on YouTube, wherever you may be watching. You call 704-391-0588. I want to talk to you. I want to hear your question about paradise. I mean, there's so little known about it. Everything I'm saying is things that I've dug and studied and tried to be ready to really answer your question. Our toll-free number, by the way, is 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Now, I'm telling you, to talk about paradise is an overwhelming thing for me. I just plain love it. But I want you to learn to love heaven. I want us to hear more about heaven. I think more preachers preach about hell than preach about heaven. I think more preachers, and very few preach about hell anymore. But I'm telling you, you should never preach a sermon about hell that you don't preach a sermon about heaven. Because paradise is real. There is a heavenly realm. There is a heavenly realm. It is as real as I am sitting here in this chair. And I'm telling you, it is a place of absolute grandeur. Glory beyond measure. There are no words to describe the glory of that place. And we're going to go on and see other beautiful things about paradise. Now, you remember, there's the paradise in the early day where Adam and Eve were placed, called the Garden of Eden. And it was indeed a paradise. No question. Then I read you things that King David in Psalms said about paradise. Go back and find them, 46, 48, and 87. 46, 48, and 87. Because I want you to study. I want you to get in there and learn what God said about his paradise. Now, I'm here to tell you, there's a third one that I think is so exciting. I want you to listen to this now. There's a third paradise that I think is so breathtaking. When man began to sin, started with Adam and Eve, as we know, and it followed on down through their families, right on down through the generations, until before 2,000 years was over, even God was sick of the whole mess. And he said he would destroy man. But Noah and his wife and family found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No, it really says they found grace, but it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so God, at some point in that early period, created a third paradise. It had to have been something created after man sinned. I really believe that, because he created hell for the wicked. And so he created a paradise in the heart of the earth. It is called paradise. Every saint of God from Noah, from Adam, if he repented, and I believe he did because God made him covering, and right on through the Old Testament, 4,000 years, when someone died, they had to go into the heart of the earth. But it wasn't some shady place. It wasn't some empty spot. They wasn't in some degree of absolute sorrow. They were in a God-created paradise in the heart of the earth. A place for every saved person from Adam all the way to the last conversion in the last part of the Old Testament. Every one of them went when they died. If they were right with God, they'd offered sacrifice and they were covered by the sacrificial blood. They went into the heart of the earth to a place called paradise. Now, Jesus is the one that said that. I looked it up for myself. You do it. Go study those words of Jesus when he said to that thief, "Today shalt thou be with paradise." And you look up that word paradise and it's going to say Eden. A place of absolute beauty. A place that God made for the weak, for the righteous of the Old Testament as they awaited the coming of Christ. And you know, when Jesus was crucified and he died, he went into paradise. He didn't go there to suffer or to go there in any degree of sorrow. He went there in triumph of the cross. and all of that great company that was in the paradise and that God had created were gloriously let out, and they no longer stayed there. They no longer stayed there. Oh, I tell you, that's breathtaking. It really is breathtaking. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming to me, and I want it to be to you, because these things are thrilling. When you study them and you really understand them, they are thrilling. I still work on the sound. I don't think you're hearing it. I guess it's just me, but it's really annoying, and I'm sorry for that, but we'll get it straight. We'll find what's wrong. I bought one thing, didn't work. I bought something else. You know, we're going to make it work. Now, the paradise number three in the heart of the earth during the Old Testament period. It really is quite overwhelming. It really is quite overwhelming when you look at all of this and realize that God cares about his family. God really does care about his family. His family is important to him. He will do whatever necessary to care for those that belong to him. Now, we know that. Now, let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. I want to spend a while here. Amen. I think about Paul the great apostle. That man saved out of terrible, terrible condition. I mean, he was a marvelous conversion. His conversion is almost indescribable. Almost indescribable was his conversion. Beautiful thing. Beautiful thing to think about. And no, let me take you there. The book of 2 Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry. No, it's 2 Corinthians. Woo! Oh, this frustration I've had today with all of these difficulties and my sound really messing up on me. But that'll be okay. We'll find it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. I want you to hear this. Will you? How that he was caught up into paradise. Let me get a verse early. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise. Caught up into paradise. And heard unspeakable words. And heard unspeakable words, which it is unlawful for a man to mention. It is unlawful for a man to utter. I mean, Apostle Paul caught up into paradise, and what he saw, he couldn't tell. He was not allowed to tell. I never quite understood that. I would like to hear Paul's description of that place called paradise. How long did he stay? Who all did he meet? Did he talk to some of the old patriarchs and some of the great of the past? I mean, what happened while Apostle Paul was in paradise? Quite a subject. Really is. It's a bit overwhelming. It's a bit overwhelming. And I love even to think about it, even to talk about it. But I'm telling you that place of paradise was in heaven. So that's number three. You have the place called the... I'm sorry, that sound comes back at me like a raven something. I am overwhelmed by it. I really am. But listen to me carefully now. I want you to hear this. Apostle Paul caught up to paradise, and this was in the city of our God. So David spoke of that as I read to you. And now Apostle Paul, he goes there. He sees it. He enjoys it. It's a grand place for him. And of course, it altered his life. Apostle Paul never cared after that whether he lived or died. He said to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Well, you'd say the same if you'd been to paradise. I promise you that. And so that was indeed a third paradise. The very presence of God. You have Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, a paradise. You have the wicked, I'm sorry, the righteous of the Old Testament in the heart of the earth. Abraham's bosom, called paradise by Jesus himself. It was Jesus was the only person that called Abraham's bosom paradise. That's quite amazing. That's quite amazing. But it really, really was a paradise. And Jesus went there and was there 3 days and 3 nights. And he saw the thief there who was now redeemed. And then he led them all out of there. And they ascended up to heaven. Oh, isn't that beautiful? That's all quite amazing. And you read those things. And then you see Abraham. Caught up. caught up. I mean, we're talking about something so indeed, I knew not such a man, whether in the body or out of the body. I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise. Now, everybody agrees that that was Abraham, that that was Paul. Everybody agrees with that, as far as I know, in Bible study. There may be others. And, you know, Paul didn't ever identify it as being himself. But he certainly talked about it in a fashion that sounded like it was himself. And I think, you know, that would be great for that to happen again. And God to let somebody be caught up to paradise and come back and tell us all about it. Would you like to hear about the heavenly paradise? Would you like to hear about the place where Abraham, well, I get it right, where Paul was caught up? Would you like to hear that? Would you like to hear the details? Of course we would. It would be exciting. Well, maybe that's one of the signs. The Bible said there'd be wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath before the great and notable day of the Lord's come. And that's in Acts chapter 2. And so indeed, that may be the thing that God does, is send somebody back that's been caught up to paradise and let them share and tell and let our world hear it. That would maybe cause some people to stop and think and turn around and start going in the right direction. Well, I love it. I really love it. I love to think about paradise. I love to think about what a place it must have been, how Adam and Eve sinned. Can you imagine when they were eating of that fruit, if they could hear the river of life somewhere splashing in the background, and they knew all the beauty of, that they'd enjoyed in that garden? Why did they do that? You know, only thing you can say is God gave us an opportunity to say yes to him and to love him freely, or gave us an opportunity to reject him and do our own thing. And many of you are rejecting him and doing your own thing. And I sure hope you turn around. I sure hope you turn around. So very important. Now, let me go to the fourth. And this is one we're going to spend a little time with, and maybe you will have some things you'd like to ask. Did you know that God is planning a fourth paradise? God is planning paradise number four. First, remember Adam and Eve. Second, remember all the righteous dead of the Old Testament until Christ was crucified and ascended, and then they ascended with him. So there is no longer a paradise in the heart of the earth. That part of paradise has ascended to the heavenly paradise, where God's city is and God's kingdom is, where Apostle Paul was caught up to and saw the beauty of. But there is a fourth. Do you understand that? Revelation, go with me. Revelation chapter 2, and let's go to verse 7. Listen. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now imagine that. In the midst of the paradise of God is a tree, is a garden and a tree, and for the saints of God. Now to him that overcometh, to him that overcometh, to him that overcometh, he said that he that hath an ear, let him hear unto him that overcometh. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, we ought to spend a little time talking about the overcomers. The overcomers are those who defeat the devil. They defeat themselves, and they defeat the world. There's three things you've got to defeat. You've got to defeat the devil. He's after you. You've got to defeat this world. But believe me, this world won't give you a break. This world will go after you day after day after day. So you've got to defeat the devil. You've got to defeat the world. And you've got to defeat your own sinful nature. You've got to defeat your own tendency to go the wrong direction. You've got to defeat all three of these. And to him that overcometh. An overcomer is one who defeats the other. If you don't defeat the world, and you don't defeat the devil, and you don't defeat your own flesh is your biggest problem. Could I tell you? You say, oh, no, the devil's not your biggest problem. The devil can't even touch you unless you let him. The devil can't make mincemeat out of you. The devil can't make you go astray. The devil can't make you do foolish things. Only you can decide, I'm going to do foolish things. You have to open yourself up. Now, there is a place in which the devil has power over you. But that place is when you have opened up your life to his realm. You've opened up your life to his doings. You've opened up your life to the bad world, to the dark things. And then Satan can take you captive, the Bible says, at his will. At his will. There's a multitude of you listening to me. I wish I could communicate with you real heartfelt. And you'd understand that you have made yourself so available to Satan that he is doing the darkest, ugliest possible things with you. You are full of bad talk. You're full of gossip. You're full of lying, cheating, stealing. You're full of an ugly attitude. You've got rebellion in your heart. You are cocky and headstrong and proud and haughty. I mean, there's just many things about this old flesh that when you open it up, it opens you up to the devil. When you open it up, it opens you up to the devil. You know, I believe I have electrical connection or something, because when I touch the right things, all of it stops. And so something, I need an electronic Superman to come by here and help me. I've done these things for 47 years, and I don't always do them perfectly. See, I can stop it just by reaching over. So there is a something here that is creating an electrical a noise, and I'm sorry for that. And maybe you're not hearing it. Maybe it's just me, but it's certainly annoying to me. But don't you forget now. I please want you to understand that if you are an overcomer, if you will overcome this world and all the things of this world, overcome sin, overcome the devil, overcome people who try to do damage to your life, overcome it. If you'll overcome it, I promise you, you will eat of the tree of life and you will enjoy that new, beautiful, breathtaking Garden of Eden. Now you say, you know it's going to be new? Well, the Bible said a new heaven and a new earth. Completely redeemed, made completely all over again, made so beyond measure and so indescribable that it's an overwhelming thing to even talk about it. The fourth Garden of Eden, where we will have the joy of spending eternity. Where we will have the joy of spending eternity. My dear friends, I'm here to tell you, we've got something awaiting us that every Christian ought to rejoice about and be excited about and ever live close and near to the name of the Lord. Now, you got to remember, God drove Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. God drove them out because of their sin. Because of their sin. Because in the Garden of Eden was a tree of life. If anybody eat of that tree of life, then they lived forever. And so God drove them out so that they could not eat of the tree of life. And did you know the church is full of people that have turned against the walk of Christ? They're careless and they live a lazy, sinful, undisciplined life. And so they're dealing with things that they wouldn't have to deal with if they just surrender. Get all that junk out of their heart and mind and live and walk with God in a sweet and holy fashion. It would be breathtaking what God would begin to do in your life. And you would be a new person. You would have a new faith and a new walk with God. Now, in a moment, we're going to go to Revelation 21 and 22. And we're going to see the new paradise of God. The new paradise of God. It is now, some of this thing is my thinking. I believe that the new paradise of God will cover the whole universe. I believe every part of heaven and every part of the earth will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I believe it will be so perfect and so beyond human grasp that to be there would be eternal life all by itself. Nothing but glorious, nothing but wonderful. And it's for you. It was created for you. It was meant for you. That's how God meant it, my brothers and sisters. He meant it for you. He meant it to be a place where you would live looking forward to. This earth is just a transitory place. We're just here a little while. We're here just in preparation for eternity. That's why we're here, is getting ready for eternity. We're here getting ready for what's down the road. And I'm begging of you to turn to Christ with all your heart. Now, these last 20 minutes, I do want some questions, by the way. You've heard me make it clear. four paradises. The Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve was there. The paradise in the heart of the earth where the saints of 4,000 years awaited the death of Christ. And then God's paradise where God dwells right now, where the angels have their habitation, where the saints of God have gone to await the glorious day. I'm here to tell you, a saint of God that's up there is in paradise. You hearing me? Your mother, your dad, your loved one, my sweetheart, they're in paradise. And somebody says to me, your wife wouldn't come back if she could. I say, oh, yes, she would. She loves me enough. If God gave her the opportunity, she'd come back. And then she could tell you about paradise. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, you don't think I'm crazy, do you? Well, maybe a little bit. Let's go to Revelation 20. Revelation 21, 22. Revelation 21, 22. How many of you are planning to spend eternity in paradise? How many of you are planning to spend eternity in paradise? And that's a powerful question. How many of you have made up your mind? You've turned your back on sin. You've turned your back on worldly living. You've turned your back on careless thinking, careless talking, careless action. You've turned your back on trying to build something for yourself and create something for yourself. I've had people call me and tell me that this church was my dream. I said, no, my dream is heaven. My dream is the things of God. Oh, I'm grateful for anything God has done for us in the church. I'm grateful. I give him all the praise and all the honor. But I'm here to tell you, I'm dreaming of heaven. I'm living for paradise. I'm living for paradise. Scream it at me, would you? I'm living for paradise. Now call me. Tell me if you're living for paradise. I want several calls right quick, and I want to hear what you're thinking about what I'm saying. I love Bible study. I don't like to just do all the talking. I like to hear your question and try to help you find an answer that will really change our life. And while you're calling now, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. And then remember our toll-free 1-800-338-7884. Now, I do have a booklet full of this very things I'm talking about. It's very excellent. It really is. And, of course, people get these all over the world. We send out thousands every month. We're delighted to do this. We're just trying to educate people. Our stuff is being read in every part of the world, as far as I can tell. I mean, it's wonderful, and I'm grateful. But I want you to have it, and I want you to live in it. And I want you to grow in the things of the Lord, in the things of Christ. And I want you to start living for paradise. I want you to start living for paradise. Now, lines are open. Secretary's waiting on your call, either to order this material or to talk to Brother Chambers. I want to hear from you. What's your question? How many of you plan to go to paradise? How many of you are planning to spend eternity in paradise? Look at me and tell me, are you planning to spend eternity in paradise? Are you so foolish as to think this world is better than paradise and to think that living in the pleasures of sin are better than paradise? Or you think that chasing all the pleasures the world offers, there's a lot of pleasures the world have that are not particularly sinful. You know, it's not particularly wrong to go to the mountains. It's not particularly wrong to do a lot of things that we can do for pleasure. But we must be careful to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because the love of the world gets a hold of you, it don't turn you loose. People ask me, do you play golf? I said, no, I don't play golf. Absolutely not. I've never seen anybody yet start playing golf that it didn't capture them. It's one of those games that, brother, if you're not good, you're ashamed of yourself. And so you go to working on getting good. And boy, does it take time for you to get good. And I'm amazed. I used to go to a lot of retreats with preachers. We'd pray and study, have a Holy Ghost visitation. We still do. Gatlinburg every year. But the crowd that I used to go with, they started playing golf and doing things like that, and I quit going with them because I'm not interested in that stuff. I'm interested in paradise. How about you? How many of you are interested in paradise? Well, I'm waiting for your call. 704-391-0588. Grab a phone. Don't just sit there and look at me. Grab a phone. Let me help you with something about paradise. Something about paradise. And now, the fourth paradise, the eternal paradise. There will never need to be another. This paradise will be forever. I think you can settle it that the whole new heaven and the whole new earth will be a paradise. It will, from one end to the other, from one end to the other. The city of New Jerusalem will set square in the middle of all of it. And I think the Garden of Eden then will stretch around the globe. And it will be exciting and thrilling. And it will all be for His honor and for His glory. There'll be no more sin and no more ugliness. No more trees of evil where you can take the evil tree and become an evil person. No, no, no. All of that will be behind us. What a day that's going to be. And I'm going to be there. I want to meet you there. I want to meet my friends over in places like New Zealand and Australia, people up in the Ukraine, and people down in South Africa. I went to Trader Joe today, and I saw some beautiful papayas, and I bought me one. I'd never bought one in my life. When I was in Côte d'Ivoire, that's the French name for the Ivory Coast, on the west side of Africa. And I was there for several days preaching all over the place. And they would feed me papaya. Every morning they would cut a papaya. See, they had carts out on the streets that were carrying papayas. And I guess they got them for a quarter, maybe 10 cents. I have no idea. They didn't tell me what they paid for them. But I knew it wasn't much, because everybody had a half one on the plate. And when I bought one today, it was $4 for one papaya. I ate $2 worth of papaya and still wasn't full, you know, because here it's different. But boy, was it delicious. But I want to tell you, friend, I'm here to tell you, in those places, there are people that love the Word of God. And I'm so grateful we're being heard in these places around the globe by the internet and by YouTube and by Facebook. And of course, radio, just limited, of course, radio. But I am proud of it. And I want you to know something. I want you to be in that place called paradise, that fourth paradise, that eternal. Did you get that? That eternal paradise. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw the holy city, and I John, saw the holy city. Are you listening to me? And I, John, saw the holy city. Now, this is New Jerusalem that John saw. Let me tell you something. New Jerusalem is a redemptive city. It was not built. It was not created until after Jesus died on the cross, and after Jesus arose from the dead. Because New Jerusalem is a redemptive city. Remember, He said it in John 14:1. I go to prepare a place for you. The city had not yet been created. And He went to prepare the city of New Jerusalem and this new paradise that we will spend eternity in. And it's all redemptive. The devil has never put his feet on the city of New Jerusalem, nor the new heaven and the new earth. He doesn't have a footprint in that great sphere of the divine. It is divine. It is a redemptive city, a redemptive world, a recreated world of redemption. And Satan has no marks on it. And Satan has no footprints in it. And Satan has never touched it. And Satan never will touch it. Do you get that? I say that plainly. He never will. So I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I'm quoting. That's not the verse I'm reading. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and He will, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Can I tell you that when all of this comes to fruition, and all of the fullness of time arrives, that Jesus and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit will walk among us in perfect relationship with us. We'll see their face. We'll worship them individually. Individually. It is a triune God. And we will worship the Father. And we will worship the Son. And we will worship the Holy Spirit. And they will be perfectly united in blessing us as their family. And heaven heaven will begin, and there will be no more sin and darkness and gloom and sadness and sickness. Oh, what a day. I, John, saw the holy city coming down from God out of heaven. And I heard a voice, a great voice from out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Now, you heard me read in the book of Psalms, from Psalms 46 and 48. You heard me reading about the city of God. That's the present city of God. Glorious and marvelous. But Satan has been there. Satan has been able to enter into the great temple and accost God. Satan's angels and wicked ones came out of there. They were cast out. Now I'm telling you, the new heaven and the new earth, they will have never touched it. So that's why we know that the present heaven will be recreated perfectly pure into a brand new heaven. And the present earth will be perfectly redeemed and recreated into a perfect earth. And Satan will has never put his foot on any of it. He will be forever banished. I mean vanquished. He will be gone. He will be over. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Can you imagine? When God's tabernacle is right with us and we're in the middle of it with Him, oh, I'm here to tell you what's awaiting us is beyond measure, a heavenly paradise. Are you getting it? A heavenly paradise, a place beyond measure, a place outside the realm of human understanding, a place so gorgeous and so glorious. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no tears in heaven. Well, there'll be tears. He wipes them away. Couldn't wipe away something that wasn't there, could He? How about that? And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, nor shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now listen, church, there's so much here, and I can't read it all. Two whole chapters that talk about the last paradise. Two chapters. You ought to read Revelation 21 and 22 when this program is over. And rehearse yourself of the paradise awaiting the people of God. The things that are in front of us, beyond us, that we're going to enjoy forever. Let me take you. Let's look at the city a little bit. Verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. And showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, you see, things are going to go through so many alterations. But when the 1,000-year millennial reign is over, and Jesus has reigned on the earth 1,000 years, and then this time comes, that's when heaven, the new heaven, and the new earth becomes our eternal abode. And this city of New Jerusalem that's up at the present heaven will come down out of the present heaven to the new heaven and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. For Satan has never put his foot, where there's never been a curse word spoken, never been an item stolen, never been the God blasphemed. None of that will exist and will never exist again. So here the Lord took John the Revelator, carried him to an exceeding high mountain and showed him the great city of New Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Well, you know, the things that are about to happen are really overwhelming. I wish I could convince you, turn from what you're living in if you're living in sin. Turn from those things that are just so temporal and so passing and so carnal. They're not worth your attention. Do you hear me? They're not worth your attention. What a place that's going to be. What a glory awaits us. What a beauty is down the road. And I'm glad I've learned what my problem is, because I can move it and I can and it all stops. So I have it fixed for next week. So thank God for me, will you? And if you're hearing any of this crazy noise, you're hearing any of this crazy noise, you can know why, okay? You can know why. So by the grace of God, we'll get it all taken care of. And God will make it more beautiful. Can you imagine what awaits us? Can you really imagine? Can you consider it and let it grasp your mind? and get where you really live for Christ and serve Him. We're going to go to chapter 22. That's the closing chapter of the Holy Bible. The closing chapter. Beautiful. We'll see that Garden of Eden. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let me tell you, I'm preaching in the morning on a day for repentance. A day for repentance. I'm excited. I'm going to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in convicting people of sin. And I'm going to talk about what it means to confess your sins. What it means when God completely forgives you and removes any semblance of sin in your life. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to try to help you understand it because it's breathtaking material. It really is. And I don't care what sin it is that you are dealing with. I'm here to tell you, if you will confess it to God, He will forgive you of it. And so I'm going to do my best to help more people, if possible, who will turn from the wicked way and live this godly life, this wonderful life. It is a blessed life. It is worth every bit of your time and your attention. And I'm telling you, it'll make you a happy soul. Now, I want to tell you something. Well, this noise just will not go away. Listen to me. We're having a special day tomorrow. A James Lindsay day. Brother Buck Lindsay. Oh, he's 90-something. 90-something. Can you believe that? 90-something. 92, I think it is. Or 93, but no, it's 92. We're having a special day and dinner on the ground. And I'm going to go and make a blackberry cobbler for his birthday lunch tomorrow, birthday dinner. I'm going to make a blackberry cobbler, and you can have some of it if you'll show up in the morning for preaching. Got to come for church now. Oh, no, you can come for the lunch. We love people so much. We're here by grace to do everything we can do for you to do nice things and to get you ready for the Lord to come. Because He's coming really imminent. He's coming at the door. He's coming any moment. So I hope you'll come to church in the morning. Come in on. If you know Brother Buck Lindsay, make arrangements now and come tomorrow for this special day. Stay for the lunch. These people feed the most wonderful in this church. You'll never find a bunch of cooks that are better. Every Sunday now we feed. Every Sunday. You're a visitor. Every Sunday you're welcome to come and have lunch with us and have fellowship with us. And we will make it enjoyable for you. We'll do everything we can to make you happy and to help you enjoy it and to make you want Jesus, really. That's what we're really after, to make you hungry to know the Lord in His fullness. Well, let's go to chapter 22. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne and out of the Lamb. Remember now, in the Garden of Eden was the river of life and was the tree of life. Remember that? Remember? And now here it is again. We've come from Genesis to Revelation. 66 books, 6,000 years, and God is going to make everything all over again. And this time, there'll be no devil walking around to mess nothing up. He will have been completely eliminated. He will be in the lake of fire, and he will never get out of it. What a day that is really going to be. Won't you be happy to be part of that? Are you living for that, or are you living for the world? You living for your old flesh? You're living for carnal things. You're living to satisfy the appetites of this carnal body. What are you living for? Are you faithful to the house of God? I want to tell you, one of the things God requires is He requires you to keep His Sabbath day holy. He requires you to keep His Sabbath day holy. And if you don't keep the Sabbath day holy, I wish you would start. I really do. Well, I wish you would start. I would be so happy to know you started and gave yourself to keeping the Sabbath day holy, because the Sabbath day is a wonderful day. I love it. I love the rest I get. I love the worship I enjoy. I love the preaching of the word. I love my brothers and sisters. I love the Sunday dinner that we share together. I love it all. I love for you to be here. Hope you will. Now let's go back to the Bible. We're going to finish up now. We're talking about the paradise of God. The heavenly paradise. The heavenly paradise. The place where the saints are going to dwell forever. And He showed me a pure river of water of life. clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Can you imagine anything that will be so grand as that river flowing out of the throne of God and out of the throne of the Lamb? Oh, it's going to be wonderful indeed. It's going to be wonderful indeed. It's going to be wonderful indeed. What a day. I'm anxious for it. I'm living for it. I got my heart set on it. In the midst of the throne, wait a minute, let me read it right. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river of life, there was a tree of life, or the tree of life, which hath 12 manner of fruit. Listen, 12 manner of fruit, and yieldeth her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And his servants shall serve him. Are you living for this? Are you really? Have you turned from the world and the world's wicked ways? Let's just be personal a minute. Where are you in your life? Are you getting ready for heaven? Or you're just enjoying little temporary thrills here on this earth? Temporary thrills. Don't last long. They'll be over. They'll be gone. And if you're not right with God, you'll be in a lake of fire. And you'll spend eternity in that lake of fire. You say, I don't believe in it. Well, it don't matter what you do or not. God said it. That settles it. When you've got Jesus telling us about the lake of fire and telling us people are going to spend eternity there, I don't think I'd argue with him. I think I know I wouldn't take such a ridiculous chance. Not me. I got to miss that. You know what? I'm not going to heaven just because I'm going to love heaven. I'm going to heaven because I'm going to love being with my Father. I'm going to love being there with Jesus Christ. I'm going to love being there with the Holy Spirit. God has kept me yesterday morning. You got to hear this now. Yesterday morning, I was in the sanctuary praying. It was maybe 7:30. I'd been here since 5-something because I have a couple of hours, 3 hours every morning. Don't even want to leave anymore. Just wonderful. Praying for you. Praying for all of our ministry. Praying for our school. Praying for this church. Praying for backslid people. Praying for preachers all over the country who have left the straight way and they all playing games. I mean, I'm praying for everybody I've ever known and everybody I might ever know. I really am. I'm bearing your burden. I'm bearing the burden of my whole family. I'm bearing the burden of the whole ministry family. I mean, we got a crowd all over the world, and they're wonderful, and I love them all. They're all precious to me. There's no single one more precious than the other. I mean that with all my heart, and I'm praying for you. And the time is short, and I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to be lost and spend eternity in a lake of fire. I really don't. Well, I got to go. Church in the morning. I'd love to have you. I'm preaching a sermon that I think will affect your life, and you'll love it. You'll be glad you heard it. You'll be glad you heard it. If you got sin anywhere in your life, the blood of Jesus will wash it if you'll just confess it. All you got to do is confess it. You can't be saved if you don't confess your sins. Do you understand that? You cannot be saved if you don't confess your sins. You cannot be saved if you don't confess your sins. That's part of being saved, is confessing your sins. And so I beg of you, confess your sins and get them out of your life and get yourself right with God. Get yourself right with God. I love you. I'm praying for you. I care about you. And I want to see you in the house of God with me tomorrow. I really do. I really do.
Lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him. He will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whate'er betide. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let
me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight, and with a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, guiding me I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, up there to sing forever of His saving grace.